Your room to grow, though, you want to make sure that they are planted properly, and we can discuss that a little bit later.
Okay.
But anyway, so we've got that and some shrubs and things, too. We have all of our shrubs now in a what we call the shade house.
Okay.
Which right now is a big cold, it's a 3,000 square foot cold frame right now.
Okay.
So when you come into the nursery, you see all the benches are empty. There's nothing but gravel. You see, then people say, well, where's the plants? Well, we have them in a cold frame. So the root system doesn't get overly cold, frozen.
Okay.
So when you plant them in the yard, they're going to...
They will actually grow.
They're going to live. So those, and we have new ones on the way. We've done bookings for this spring, and we've got all kinds of new stuff on the agenda.
Okay.
So I'm looking forward to a very exciting spring. There's some new plants out there, which we can discuss in this program and subsequent programs. But anyway, okay. Those are coming in. And also today we have some of the fruits of my labor here.
Yeah, you work hard.
A big old jar of plum jelly.
You cut yourself too doing that?
Yeah, whatever.
You don't even notice, okay.
But anyway, a jar of plum preserves. And the wife and I, we bought the trees on our 25th wedding anniversary.
Oh boy.
And it took 8 more years to get some fruit off of them. And we've got a lot of plum preserves right now. We worked real hard last May to make this batch of jelly. Anyway, we got one to give away.
All right.
To a lucky caller, if you have any questions. It's getting that time of year when you should have a lot of questions about what's going on in the garden.
Okay, and our phone number here is 918-336-1400. We've got a jar of plum preserves
to give away.
To give away.
But specifically questions you might want to ask is, what do I do with my lawn? The lawn.
I hope it'll grow.
I see a lot of people going around putting down crabgrass preventer.
Okay.
It's a little early for that. Crabgrass doesn't come up until, after frost.
Okay, and yeah, we're probably going to have more frost,
so,
yeah.
So
okay.
That's 6 to 7 weeks away right now.
Okay.
So it wouldn't hurt to get it in the ground, but if you scalp a yard afterwards, well, it's going to go away. So so you want to probably wait a little bit.
Okay.
Now, a pre-emergent works by killing the seeds before they sprout.
Or as
they sprout, put it that way. It stops them from sprouting. So it reduces significantly the amount of weeds you're going to have, specifically crabgrass.
Okay.
In your yard. Also, if you had a real bad problem with chickweed and henbit in your yard,
mm-hmm.
Well, the time to control that, and we talked about it last September,
mm-hmm.
is in September, October.
Oh, well, too late now?
If you missed the boat.
On a regular basis?
Which I did. Yeah. But anyway, you can use, now it's going to be really nice on Sunday tomorrow.
Right.
And there'll be a window of time right in there where if you look in your lawn and look real closely inside and you see a lot of weeds,
mm-hmm.
your Bermuda grass, if you have Bermuda grass, is dormant at this point in time. And these weeds are really liking this warm weather we've been having.
So they're
actively growing a little bit. So it'll be a good time to get in there and apply the Roundup to the weeds.
Okay, because the weeds are green and everything else is not.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah,
you can everything's good that is not.
It's good to be. You can be selective with it right now.
Okay.
And be sure to use the Roundup properly. Because once it hits the ground, it's no good. It doesn't do any good at all.
Okay.
So it doesn't take a big rush of it. You don't have to get out the big spray equipment. You can spot spray, whatever, with a pump sprayer.
Okay.
To apply it on the Roundup works very well just by leaf contact. Now, another thing is a lot of these plants have a lot of hair on their leaves.
Okay.
And that mechanically acts as a way to repel water off of them. So when you spray it, look very closely at it and see if the water is actually staying on the leaf.
Like it's beating up or something,
right? Or is it beating up and running off? If it's beating up and running off, you probably have really hard water.
Okay. Okay.
So you never get clean in the shower. Or you can add...
I don't want to hear that.
Or you can use a little bit of soap in the water. Or we have, at the nursery, we have spreader sticker, which works better.
Okay.
Than soap, to make it stick to the plant.
Okay.
So just kind of observe it carefully when you do apply your Roundup. Just a good rule of thumb.
Okay.
Pre-emergent for crabgrass, I like to do that around St. Patrick's Day. So that's about six weeks away. Because March the 15th, and typically April the 15th is when the Bermuda crabgrass.
The taxman. Tom's empty.
I'm not going there. But anyway, that's when the crabgrass starts to come up and grow, and then later on, the 1st of May, it really comes into action on the crabgrass does. So for it to be more effective, I would wait another 30 days or so to put down the crabgrass control. Now, that's the pre-emergent control. In your beds, your shrub beds and all that, now's a good time to put down stuff like for weeds.
Okay.
Preen works very well.
All right.
Or which is a pre-emergent herbicide.
Okay.
Or you can put down mulch, a good layer of mulch.
Right.
I know we've had a lot of wind this winter, as typically we do. And we haven't had our big snow yet.
Shh. We're not having one.
Yeah, February is pretty young.
I know.
We've been real lucky.
I've only been here a year, and that's the snowstorm we had was in February.
February, exactly. Yeah. So the way the weather patterns are working right now.
It's going to be nice out this week.
I know. Enjoy it.
I'm going
to. It's going to be kind of cold at night, though.
Yeah.
Which is not good for, getting your telescope out, looking at the stars, but kind of cold.
Well, only if you got your coat on, but yeah,
I guess so. But anyway, so it's going to be a good weather for gardening this week, too. And that means getting the garden ready.
I've been encouraging people to get out in the yard.
Right.
Better them than me.
So adding some mulch to the beds will help control the weeds an awful lot.
Right.
But you have to put enough on there. It has to be quantified 2 inches, 2 to 3 inches of mulch for it to really work.
Because otherwise the weeds can get through, right?
Yeah, if you just put a little on the ground just for looks and it's not doesn't have the depth, you're going to have a weed problem. But if you go ahead and put it on like you should, which a 2-inch layer or so, it'll reduce significantly the amount of weeds. It won't stop Bermuda grass, but it will stop those pesky other weeds because they try to grow in the mulch. We have a little bit of rain, they grow, and then the mulch dries out, and the little plants dry up, and they die.
Okay.
That's kind of how it works.
So,
it also helps preserve moisture, too.
Right, the mulch does. Yeah, it keeps the ground damper.
It looks nice, too, to have fresh mulch on the beds. So, it'll spring up the house real nice, too.
And I know that a lot of the communities around have, they took Christmas trees and mulched them, but I'll bet that stuff's all gone, isn't it?
I don't know.
You don't know? Okay.
But use that as a mulch. Use it as a mulch, not a soil amendment.
Okay. Right.
Because, it will loosen up the soil, but it also, because it's not composted,
right.
It actually absorbs nitrogen as it decomposes.
Okay.
So you have some rather weak-looking plants.
Oh, well, we don't want weak plants.
You plant them in plants with fresh sawdust and things. So you do want to compost that for a while to get it decomposed.
Oh, right. Okay. I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, because, if you're going to do the work of digging places and putting seed down and everything else and planting plants, you want them to be strong.
Strong and healthy. Now, in doing that, we have the pre-packaged compost, the Back to Nature compost.
Okay.
And it's already done for you.
And you just open the bag?
Open the bag and put it in the ground and till it in the ground. And it does an excellent job. I've used it on my yard, and I'm going to use it again this year.
Okay.
On the beds up front to enhance the growth of the flowers and things I put in the front.
Okay.
So check out your soil. We have what we call the drop test. You're probably not familiar with the drop test.
No, I'm not.
Doing soil preparation.
Okay.
You'd take a shovel and dig up some soil and kind of loosen it up a little bit. And then put a wad in your hand like this.
Okay.
Pull it together and drop it from about 2.5 feet.
Okay,
hip high.
Okay.
About hip high, drop it on the concrete, and see if it shatters,
or it just blows away in the wind.
It blows in the wind, yeah. Or if it sits there like a wad and just stays there.
That's too wet, then, right?
Well, it's too heavy a soil.
Okay.
So, I've said this hundreds of times over the years, that if you want to make sure your plants are going to succeed, and make sure you have good soil prior to doing that. And you can amend your soil to make it good soil.
Right, you aerate
it.
Aerate it, and
add something, peat moss or compost or decomposed, your own compost at home. Or decomposed leaves, something like that, work very well.
Okay.
Amend the soil to where it stays loose and open. our soil here by nature has a tendency to compact when it rains.
Right.
Usually when it rains for 20 minutes, about 4 inches.
Yeah.
It's like a thousand little jackhammers pushing uh-huh. down the soil. And then it turns into this anaerobic wet goo. So so you want to try to loosen it up. We have a caller?
You know
maybe?
What? That's line one, so
that's
no.
The office? Okay.
But you can call us here, and we've got the Plum Preserves. Or if you have any questions about gardening, you can give us a call here at 918-336-1400. Larry Glass has the answer when it comes to gardening. Mm-hmm. How about that? We're going to take a little break, but we'll be back real shortly, and we'll talk some more about gardening.
It's never too early or too late in the season to add indoor tropical plants and cactus to your home. Right now, Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has tropical and indoor plants and a variety of cactus to choose from. For outdoor landscaping, Green Thumb has trees and shrubs to choose from at 30% off. Clay pots are on sale too. And while shopping Green Thumb, be sure to check out their large selection of sale items. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. Open Friday and Saturday only from 10 till 4.
Hurry in to United Supermarkets for first of the month Big Game Super Savings Kickoff. Planning a big game party? Score a touchdown with United Supermarkets' great selection of party trays and specials from the deli, sure to please your game day fans. Enjoy first of the month Big Game Party Helper specials on Baby Back Pork Ribs, a low $2.99 a pound. Kraft Mayo or Miracle Whip, $2.89. Keebler or Nabisco snack crackers, 3 for just $5. And Philadelphia cream cheese, 2 for a low $3. Score with winning picks from our unbelievable Big Game Super Savings Kickoff, first of the month sales savings, only for a limited time and only at your United Supermarkets, home of the personal touch.
Smoke in the sky and fire in the air. Desire burns.
And we're back with Green Country Gardener Larry Glass talking about, we're going to talk about fruit trees now.
Fruit trees, you
fruit
bet.
Fruit trees.
A lot of people have a lot of questions about fruit trees.
Okay.
And what to do and what to look for. And it's a bit of a science growing fruit trees. I know that from personal experience. You can see it.
You're a mad scientist?
Yeah,
is that what you're saying?
Yeah, mad scientist. And one of the biggest problems people have with their fruit trees in this neck of the woods are borers. It's a little insect that bores under the trunk.
Right.
And they dine on the sugars that are transported down to the roots from the leaves. And they're very, very difficult to see. Now, fruit trees, a lot of your cherry trees and apple trees and whatnot have a bit of a defense mechanism. In other words, when the bark is corrupted, and that's what the borers do, they break the bark and go in and channel through, they tend to bleed out this amber-colored sap.
And, oh, I've seen that,
and
yep.
People wonder, what is that?
Well, okay.
When that
now
happens,
I know.
When that happens, the bark has been corrupted, and that is its way of trying to encapsulate that and smother out the insect. Well, it doesn't always work, but... And what do you do about it? Oh, my goodness. Well, there are some chemical ways to do it. Me, personally, on my fruit trees, when I had found borers in them, I got out my pocket knife and dug them out.
Well, they're little? Aren't there a lot of them?
Not necessarily.
Oh.
I dug them out, and then I used some spinosad on it. Spinosad is an organic type insecticide against which no insects have immunity. So
good.
It would be
good
one
know.
That you might want to use if you want the organic method, which I think is a very positive way to do insect control as much as you can, and it works. So you just have to spray the trunk on it and be kind of religious about it, you know, and just keep an eye on your trees. I look more at the trunks of the tree than anything else. Every time I do my weekly tour.
Okay,
and I did find some borers on my plums this winter. So they're going to get some more of that on it.
Spinosad. Spinosad.
Yeah.
I wanted to say spinosad.
It's very safe to use and so on. Another option is the imidacloprid, but on the imidacloprid, timing is very important. Imidacloprid is a systemic insecticide. And you really don't want to put it on before the flowers come out on your fruit trees, because it can poison the flowers.
Oh, and then the fruit would not be good.
Well, your fruit will be fine, but the insects who pollinate the flowers will suffer from it.
Oh, yeah, we don't want to hurt the bees.
And that is kind of partially responsible to the decline in bee populations and whatnot. So you want to be very, very diligent about that. Now, you can put it down right after it blooms. And by the time the fruit is ready, depending on the variety of fruit, the imidacloprid really won't be present in your fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time it gets there and gets to the abscission layer between the fruit and the stem, it probably is, the amount that's in there is just marginal, if at all any. So right after fruit, right if you pick the fruit, is a good time to do it also. That way it gets into there and knocks out the little critters that are crawling around in there, and by the time the spring comes around, it's kind of diluted. So, but anyway, the spinosad could be used most any time. And I've used that, and neem oil actually is another one, another topical control for your fruits. A lot of people have problems with worms.
Yeah, right. They like apples.
On their fruits and all that. And this year, because I used the neem oil in conjunction with the spinosad, I have all this fruit.
And does all this jelly too. On the trunk of the tree then? Yes.
It's on the trunk, yeah. And also on the fruit itself. It's safe to use it on that. And the neem oil especially, it's a good fungicide too. It's very effective. The neem oil works biomechanically as a life cycle interrupter. In other words, insects go through a metamorphosis.
Right, they go from this thing to butterflies.
And the neem oil tends to arrest that.
Oh.
It also makes a good effective fungicide too.
Okay.
So that would be a good one to use. We have several formulations of neem oil at the nursery. And it's safe to use, too. So we use it a lot at the nursery, too, to keep insects under control at the nursery, to make it as safe as possible for the customers to bring their plants home, you know. So so it's pretty good stuff. And really, the technology in the organic section has done some good leaps and bounds. So we're quite pleased with that. So
don't forget it.
Consider a spray program when you're doing your fruit trees. Now, right now, on your peach trees, we have a problem here with the peach leaf curl. And you might think, well, who cares about the shape of the leaves? You know, what I'm after is the fruit. Well, that'll also get in and cause some scab on your peaches.
Oh, you don't want scabby peaches.
Right. So there's a copper fungicide you use to curl peach leaf curl.
Can I give out the phone number so someone can call us, maybe?
Make it so.
All right. Our phone number here, 918-336-1400. Plum Preserves. If you have any questions,
so far you've got this jar of plum preserves.
Oh, that's all right. You'll get it.
Because you've asked some questions.
I know. Well, I do. I always have questions.
So if you want to steal it from her.
Okay, here, if you want it, I'll give it to you. But you got to call first with some questions. Larry Glass is talking about ways to prepare.
Pruning your fruit trees, now's a good time to prune them mm-hmm. also. It's kind of the last time you want to do it because the sap's going to start running pretty soon on them. So you want to get after it by the middle of the month. Okay, that's enough for fruit trees.
All right.
Fertilizing, though. Yeah, you want to fertilize them kind of at the end of this month.
Before it frosts, but that's right? Because you said it frosts till the middle of March.
You want to fertilize your trees at the end of this month.
All right.
It takes a while to get down into the root system. And when they start to bloom, they'll have plenty of health and vigor going into it. And be sure when you fertilize, to fertilize at the drip line, not at the trunk of the tree.
All right.
But away from the tree. Your feeder roots are way out. They're not really close to the tree. So it's not like feeding a dog where you just dump it right in front of it. you have to.
And they inhale.
Yeah, really. So you have to fertilize out away from the trunk in the feeding zone, and that's typically at the drip line.
All right, that's around the edges of the tree.
Yeah, the drip line is the furthest point from, in other words, if you're standing on the tree and it's raining, that's the point at the edge of the canopy.
Right, if you don't want to get wet, don't put the fertilizer.
Yeah,
you put the fertilizer where you would get
where
wet.
Where you would get wet when it rains. Yeah, exactly, good way to put it. So anyway, that's kind of what you want to do a little bit later on, but not now.
All right.
Things going on in the garden is getting time for some heavy pruning on your shrubs and trees.
But no hat racking. I see that.
Yeah, do letters. Not hat rack your trees. But except maybe Yopan hollies. They lend themselves very well to hat racking, but anyway.
Because they'll grow like crazy anyhow?
Well, they fill in real nicely. Okay. If you do have a Yopan holly,
you get a nice shape.
And a lot of people have Yopan hollies as specimen plants. Some of them planted 2 feet away from the house. But it's kind of close for a plant that gets 20 feet wide.
Oh, yes.
So you want to... you can't get in the front door for this awful sticker bush.
All right.
So, but they don't have stickers on them. They just kind of feel like it. But anyway. So now's the time to cut them back. Now, when you cut back a Yopan holly, you want to save some of the substructure in there. In other words, you got the main trunk, and then they branch out.
Okay.
Well, right after they first branch out, it looked kind of like you're holding up a basketball.
Oh, okay.
Like this with your hand.
Uh-huh.
And that's what we call kind of the substructure. Then it branches off from that and turns into this big bush. So if it looks like deer antler, if you will.
All right.
After you prune it, you've probably done okay with Yopan hollies. Now, when I've moved into the house I'm in right now, the Yopan hollies are way over the roof, into the gutters. It was a mess.
They let them just do what they wanted.
And it was, of course, we moved in the house in the fall. I waited all winter. Then in the spring, I turned them into antlers.
Uh-huh.
And they came out real nicely. They've been that way for 14 years, and they're still small and compact and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And the neighbors around me did the same thing. It was so funny.
They saw, they said, wow, they thought, that looks like a good idea.
That would make it a lot smaller, too. You know. There's a lot of, there are a lot of hat racked Yopan hollies around the house. It's so funny. So anyway, so one guy did it in the fall, and it died. And you're not supposed to do it in the fall. You have
right.
to do it in the spring. Yeah, only in the spring. But anyway, he didn't ask me. So
well, that'll teach
it's
him.
It's good time to do that. Also, your yew plants. They can be trimmed back right now. They're going to be growing pretty soon. You're probably going to see a little bud swell on your yews at this point.
Right.
Yews are very, very fine, dark textured, fine textured evergreen. Typically, it's grown on the north of the or the east side of the house.
I'm going, what is a yew?
Well, it ain't no ram, let me tell you.
Okay.
Yeah, you fell for
you
that
might
one.
As well be sillier than me. Go ahead.
You fell for that one.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so yews are one that need to be trimmed right now. And yews are unique in that if you do trim them back rather sternly, they will come back. If you do that to a pine tree, it'll kill it, like a mugo pine or something. You have to be very careful how you prune which shrubs. You cannot do that to a mugo pine.
All right.
Because if you hat rack a mugo pine, well, you just bought a hat rack.
Because it won't be a pine tree anymore.
It won't
anymore.
Come back, no. It'll kill it. But with a yew, though, you can do that. Also, holly plants. Those are big old hollies that are ugly in front of the house. So they can be cut back rather sternly at this point also.
Okay.
And same thing with burning bush and Manhattan euonymus and privets. Things like the cherry laurels can be cut back rather strong also. So there are a lot of your bread and butter, what we call bread and butter.
A lot of stuff that'll grow like crazy.
Yeah,
you can cut
your
it back.
Shrubs, your everyday shrubs can be cut back. There are some exceptions though.
All right.
Some of these shrubs that you have around your house, like azaleas and forsythias and flowering quince, for instance, bloom early in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
And if you cut it back right now, you're going to miss out on the flowers.
Oh, because you're cutting all the good stuff off.
Right.
Okay.
And hydrangeas, I have a lot of questions about hydrangeas. Should I cut my hydrangea back? Well, this year we had a cold spell early on, and it sort of caught them off guard. And I know I have a hydrangea plant in the front of my house that got zinged back all the way to the ground.
Right, because we still had flowers on them when we got the cold spell. Is that correct?
Oh, no. This
no,
was later
they were
on.
Done.
Yeah,
okay.
This was after that. But it was cold enough to knock them back. So your hydrangeas... A lot of people's hydrangeas suffered some winter dieback this year. There are two schools of thought on that. You can cut it back right now or wait till the leaves start to emerge on the stem to cut it back.
All right.
And typically that's when I like to do it is when that happens. But this one just went kaput all the way to the ground, so it's got to be cut back.
Oh, okay, but it's still alive.
Oh, it's still, it'll come back up from the roots, yeah. It might not bloom this year unless we have some exceptional weather. I do need to transplant it to the backyard, which would now be a good opportunity because it lost its shade this winter, and all summer long it looked like a bag of cornflakes.
It was crunchy, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, the leaves got burned up in the heat, so I need to relocate it this winter.
All right. Well, we need to take another break. All right. K1 News time is 8:40, but we have more to say about gardening, and we do have plum preserves. If you have a question, they're for you. So give us a call, 918-336-1400.
Finding a new home is hard enough, so financing one should be easy. At American Heritage Bank, we believe buying a home should be a smooth, enjoyable experience. Whether you're thinking of buying your first home, looking to upgrade to the home of your dreams, or wanting to refinance your existing home, we have a solution that's right for you. Visit us online at ahb-ok.com today. American Heritage Bank, simply better lending. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
If your yard is not flourishing, consider this. Talk to the experts at Enterprise Sod Store. They will tell you that sod is the answer to an instant yard and is mostly weed-free. Enterprise Sod has three kinds of sod: Bermuda, Zoysia, and Fescue. They'll pick up and deliver your sod and train you how to install and care for your sod. If you're a current or new homeowner or a landscaper or contractor, call the sod experts at Enterprise Sod Store, 918-333-6888. Stop by and see them at 3410 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville.
Save on automotive supplies at Peter's True Value in Dewey. Right now, a quart of Pinton's Oil motor oil is just $2.99 each. Choose from 10W30, SAE 30W, 10W40, or 5W30. Trust's multi-velocity formula to help prevent dirt, sludge, and other contaminants from compromising your engine's performance. So whether you're preparing your car for seasonal weather or regular maintenance, now's the time to stock up. Hurry in for these bargains of the month while supplies last. Peter's True Value. Behind every project is a true value.
K1 News time now is 8:42. Diane Costin with you, sitting in for Charlie, but I am with Larry Glass and a Green Country Gardener, and we are talking about everything you do for spring.
Right. In recap, we talked about weeds in the yard. We talked about fruit trees, kind of what to do right now, and also, we got a caller.
I have a caller. Hello there. You're on Green Country Gardener. You have a question for Larry?
Yes. I always ask, when can I divine my hostas?
Hostas! Well, we really haven't gotten to that part of the show yet, but...
But he will tell you.
Now is an excellent time. Because they're just... The eyes on them are just now starting to grow. Number one, you can find them right now. And
they're usually not up yet.
Yeah, they're just barely starting to come up. If you look real close where they are, you'll see these little cones coming up out of the ground. Mm-hmm. And you can more clearly define where you might want to divide them at this point in time. And also, they're going to start growing actively real soon, so they'll heal up a lot quicker. So I kind of like to do it in the spring.
So you said
if you can
everywhere?
See it? Yeah, if you can see it, you can do it. Is that right?
Okay, so how do I do it?
Well, first of all, you dig all the way around it. You try to loosen up the entire clump and get it up out of there. And you can use a good sharp knife to cut it down the middle. Or in my case, I just kind of hit them with a shovel and kind of break it in half. And it actually works kind of, you don't want to be too hard because you don't want to break the eyes off. You want to be very careful how you cut them off. And if on a good sized clump, one about as big as a basketball, you could get four hosta clumps out of it.
So you could quarter it then.
Yeah. Okay. And then plant them, when you do replant them, make sure you have really, really good soil because they don't like heavy soil.
Okay.
Really good loose soil. You might consider getting some compost or some peat moss or something to mix in with the soil.
Oh, but, they like peat moss?
Well, they do to a point. Peat moss has a low pH and hostas like a neutral soil. So if you use too much peat moss, you're going to get diminished growth. So you want to go ahead and try to get something that's, potting soil will work good too to help loosen up that soil because most of your potting soils are pH neutral.
Oh, okay.
So something like that, mix it about 50-50 with your soil in an area about the size of a bushel basket, and you should have some really good luck with your hostas.
All right. Well, mine have, they're really in too much sun, but I did improve the soil.
Yes.
And they did better this last year, which was milder, too. But I need to move some out of there. They're way too many.
Right.
So I can get four out of one about the basketball size, right?
Yeah. You should be able to get four. If it's smaller, you might want to cut it in half. Just so you have some appearance with the hostas. It doesn't look too small.
Like maybe a handful? Would that be about right?
What, for a size?
Like one section of it. Like if you cut it up, if it fits in your hand, maybe?
Well, about as big around as this jar of jelly you're going to win by calling, so...
You want to give us your name and come and get this jar of jelly?
Yeah,
just first
this
name.
Is Barbara.
Barbara. Okay, Barbara.
And all right. We're here this morning till noon, or you can come in, you know, during the week, during our regular office hours.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Thank you for your call,
Barbara.
Is there anything else?
For what? Oh, and the hostas?
Yes.
And the hostas.
You might give them a little bit of bone meal.
Bone meal.
That'll typically help them out a little bit. You don't want to emphasize too much nitrogen on them.
Okay.
They tend to get kind of floppy when you do that, but just a bit of bone meal or some milorganite or some easy does it kind of fertilizer, and they should do just fine.
Okay. All righty. Well, I'm glad to know it. I should do it now because I have missed it every year.
Well, now you got it right because you called and asked the question.
The weather's good. All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Barbara. Have a good day.
Bye.
Bye now. We do have another caller. How about that?
I'm not sure what you guys are doing right now.
We're doing Cream Country Gardener.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering if anybody knew if they're having breakfast over there at the Masonic or something this morning or not.
Well, you know, I don't know. I guess I could answer that question. I can look at my radio reminders and see if we've got it. Yes, you are right. It is going on.
Okay.
Yep, at the Masonic Lodge.
And while I got you, the garden guy's right there, right?
Yes, he is right here.
So if I move surprise lilies now, will it hurt them?
Not at all.
Won't hurt them at all?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. Now's the time to do it. After they leaf out, it's another time to do it. But right now is good.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much.
And your first name is?
Kathy.
Who?
Kathy.
Well, Kathy, if you happen to win the jar of jelly, it'd be good on your pancakes.
You're giving out jars of jelly today, huh? That's good.
Yes, ma'am. Right. If you'd like one, come by and get it.
We only got
I'll
one jar,
though. I'll turn on the radio and listen.
We only have one jar, so...
Well, why'd you offer it? You only had one jar.
Only brought one jar.
So you're going to do a drawing then,
right?
We're
going to do a drawing, yeah.
Okay, I'll turn radio on and listen.
All right, thank you, Kathy.
Thanks, mm-hmm, bye-bye.
Have a good day. Bye. All right, now we know there's breakfast at the Masonic Lodge. Larry will be going there after this.
Excellent. Well, I made breakfast.
Oh, okay, so you didn't bring me in. I missed out.
So.
All right. Okay, and so this is Green Country Gardener, Larry Glass, telling us about different things we should be doing at this time of year.
Right. That's one thing is dividing perennials. It's a good time. It's not the best time to divide iris, though. You do that in July and August.
That's after it dies off, right?
Well, no, the leaves are still there.
Okay.
But they bloom in the spring, and right now the bulbs are all set to bloom, and if you cut off their root system, chances are they won't do it.
Yeah, I know. I see the daffodils are trying to...
Yeah, the daffodils are coming up.
They're ready.
And we get some worry calls about them, and I wouldn't worry about them. They're very, very cold hardy.
They grow through the snow. I've seen that.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh, uh-huh. I haven't seen any crocus up yet, though.
I don't have any by my house.
Yeah, but you drive around a little bit and you see some now and then, and people put them in their yards.
Right.
It's a real good way to do it because they're up and they're blooming, and by the time it's time to cut back the Bermuda grass, they're done with everything for the year.
Okay.
So they're pretty in the yard, but I haven't seen any yet.
Well, they'll be coming.
I imagine this week, though, looking at the weather, though, we're probably going to see some emergence of the crocus.
Because it's going to be by next weekend. It's going to get a little colder is what I'm seeing here.
Yeah,
and then by next weekend, no, it's not going to be cold, but it's going to be a little cooler. And then it's going to be back to 60 again by next week.
48, 49 Wednesday, 53 on Wednesday.
Yeah, and then what I was seeing on the news is up into 60 on the weekend, next weekend.
Next weekend?
Yeah.
Oh. And after the weekend?
I don't know. I can't go that far. You're lucky. I can tell you till next week.
18 degrees and 3 feet of snow,
no,
probably.
No, no, no. Don't threaten me with that.
Well, if Charlie's out of town, it will snow.
Well, I hope it waits till after he comes back.
Okay.
We all would like to see Charlie back. He's been gone since Wednesday. But you want to go on a little bit, or you want to take our final break, and then we'll come back and talk?
We can go a little bit right now, and we can continue on with the perennials.
All right, let's go on with the perennials.
It's time to divide things like the Well, I say that, and I can't remember.
Oh.
The black-eyed Susans.
Okay.
And Echinaceae, or the coneflowers. A lot of people have those, and they kind of spread a lot. And if you want to spread them around, now's the time to do that. They're just now coming up from the ground, and the black-eyed Susans have little flat leaves close to the ground, and the Echinaceae just have little tiny sprouts right now. Right. So those things are starting to happen right now. Coral bells is another one, the Heuchera plants. It's time to move those. Don't touch your peonies. You're too late.
No, you waited too long.
Because they're going to be coming up and blooming pretty soon. And it'll shock them pretty bad to move them at this point. Well, you can to divide them.
It'll freak them out. Don't do it.
They can be moved if you have to, but dividing them, I kind of like to do that a little earlier on.
All right.
If you do divide them right now, it won't hurt them. You just won't have much of a show of blooms on them when you move them at this point in time. So, but they could be moved, but just don't anticipate a lot of flappers on them.
Well, we want.
And you
flowers.
Can still move the iris. They don't care when they're moved. It's just whether or not you want them to bloom.
If you don't care if they bloom, you know, go ahead and do the work of moving them.
That's right.
No, leave them where they're at if you want flowers.
So anyway, there's a few, and chrysanthemums too can be divided and moved, so all on.
All right.
Okay, so that's kind of it with perennials right now, and we can talk about Tree of the Week after the break.
All right, we'll be back in a couple minutes.
It's never too early or too late in the season to add indoor tropical plants and cactus to your home. Right now, Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has tropical and indoor plants and a variety of cactus to choose from. For outdoor landscaping, Green Thumb has trees and shrubs to choose from at 30% off. Clay pots are on sale too. And while shopping Green Thumb, be sure to check out their large selection of sale items. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. Open Friday and Saturday only from 10 till 4.
The new and upgraded PowerStar tractors from New Holland and Jensen Tractor Ranch in Bartlesville offers you the very best in ergonomics, visibility, and efficiency. The Vision View cab provides industry-leading visibility and convenience with two wide-opening doors, a flat deck platform, a 10-vent climate system, the Commandeer console, the left-hand power shuttle lever, and more. In short, PowerStar comfort is extra large, but the operating costs are extra small. The precise fueling of the Common Rail fuel injection system and their Tier 4B engines make them ultra-efficient, and the industry-leading 600-hour service interval decreases your cost as well. Jensen Tractor Ranch now offers PowerStar tractors in two horsepower levels, the traditional 75-horsepower model and the new, smaller 64-horsepower model. Both models are built New Holland Smart. Stop by Jensen Tractor Ranch in Bartlesville soon to learn more about PowerStar tractors.
If there's a tractor in your future, Jensen's got it. Jensen Tractor Ranch, saving prices guaranteed. Bartlesville's New Holland team.
Enterprise Sod Store has everything you need to make your lawn and garden spectacular. They have mulch, topsoil, even gravel for driveways, all sold in bulk quantities and at bulk pricing, saving you money. All materials Enterprise sells can be delivered, saving you time. Start your lawn and landscaping projects today. Call the sod expert, Enterprise Sod Store, at 918-333-6888 or stop by and see them at 3410 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville.
When you're building the home you've always wanted, look to 400 Series windows and patio doors from the brand most trusted by builders and remodelers, Anderson. With variety, style, and time-tested performance, it's no wonder they are our most popular windows and doors. 400 Series windows and doors from Anderson. Why choose anything else? See Anderson Windows at Overlees Woods Lumber Company on Nowata Road in Bartlesville.
K1 News Time now is 8:54. This is the Green Country Gardener with Larry Glass. I'm Diane Costin, and we're going to talk a little bit now about
a mer maple. If you can't pronounce that, just call it Acer Genala.
Okay, that's easier. Sure, it's
easier
not.
To say, yeah.
All right.
The Amer maple is a small maple tree. It likes the sun. And it's used a lot of times as a specimen interest plant in the landscape. Specimen interest meaning it can take the place of a Japanese maple in the sun.
All right.
The advantages of it are it can take the heat, and it has excellent fall color. Really nice. That's a good advantage of it. And it's easy to grow, and it's very drought tolerant. And it has kind of a nice branching structure. So it might be a good one to use if you have a western exposure and you're looking for, a plant that has a bit of a Japanese maple kind of look to it.
All right.
So those are the good points.
Now you're going to tell us the other?
Well, there are some. You have to give it plenty of room to grow because it will get to be a pretty good sized tree. It's also kind of low branching. So if you plant it too close to the sidewalk, you won't be able to get the piano in and out of the house. Or the groceries or anything else like that.
Oh dear, or yourself.
So it should be 10 feet away from the house and the front and the sidewalk. And that sounds like an awful long distance. When you're inside the house, yes. But outside in the garden, considering the scale of the house maybe and whatnot, 10 feet is not that far away.
All right.
So the bed in which it's planted probably should be 15, 17 feet wide at least. So it needs a lot of room, in other words. Unless
the roots
you want
spread really far.
Yeah, the roots, that's the top of it.
Oh, all right.
So it needs a lot of room.
All right.
So it makes a really attractive plant. But I've seen these so many times planted way too close to the house.
They're smushed.
And the designers or the installers or whoever doesn't consider how big it's going to get.
Mm.
And it gets to be a bit of a problem size-wise. So it's a really attractive plant. Excellent fall color. It's not really the best in the lawn because it is so low branching. You can't mow underneath it. So this
knees.
Particular plant, because of its shape, I like to use it as a specimen interest mm-hmm. plant. But it needs to be kind of away from the house. It naturalizes real well with boulders and things around it too.
Yeah.
It looks real kind of nice with that. Another drawback is that it has a whole lot of little seeds on it.
Oh, and then you got to clean them up
in the summer,
they
persist for quite a while. Then they drop off.
And then other trees start growing, correct?
I don't see a lot of occurrence of little baby amaryllis coming up everywhere.
They're everywhere.
But it is kind of a drawback, are the seeds for a period of time in the summertime. But overall, it's a pretty nice small specimen kind of tree. But it's really best known for its outstanding fall color, a bright orange red to a deep red, depending on the variety.
Really pretty. Right.
And just easy to grow plant, but give it room. So that's kind of the amaryllis, and pest basically pest free too. Nothing really likes it, so it does really well.
You don't have to go and dig on it with your knife. All right.
An alternative to that might be an Oklahoma redbud. Or maybe even a Kwanzaa cherry or something like that will do, or Yoshino cherry would do nicely as a similar sized specimen interest plant.
All right, we have less than 2 minutes, so.
Oh, okay, but anyway, house plants at the nursery, we can tell about what we got at the nursery. We have lots of house plants right now, and they're showing some good color. The cactus are starting to bloom a little bit.
Are
the days
they?
Are getting longer, so that's kind of an event at the nursery when the cactus start to bloom.
They get pretty flowers.
We have a great big euphorbia cactus.
All right.
That has these big old flowers on it, and they're starting to put on a few blooms here and there. And so we're getting a bit of color on that end. The geraniums are growing real nicely out back. We've had blooms on our geraniums already.
All right.
And they'll be moved up front pretty soon to fill out in the retail greenhouse. So those will be available real soon also. They're getting a little big for the growing greenhouse, so we need to graduate them. We have a little graduating ceremony where we put little caps and gowns on them.
You're silly.
No, we don't. But anyway, we had two likely winners for the plum jam, and this is kind of how we officially pick it.
And see where Larry's pen lands.
Okay, it goes to Barbara.
All right, Barbara, you are the winner of plum preserves, jam, jelly. What is it?
It's preserves.
Preserves.
It's
plum preserves.
Basically, it's not a jelly per se. It's not like a.
It's the texture of it. It's different,
the texture
right?
is different. It's not runny, but it's kind of a different texture. But anyway, it's really good. I've had a lot of good feedback on it. So.
But, you go over and take it
also
over
makes
to the
a,
breakfast
a good
at the
gift,
Masonic Lodge.
Exactly. So you can take this off and the ring off here and actually. Put some cloth around it and make a gift out of it or something
too. There you
go. But it's really quite delicious. So anyway, it's good talking with you. I had a good time this week, and golly, keep your shovels sharp. We'll see you next week.
And thanks, Larry.
American Heritage Bank, now serving the Osage region of Portalsville, Pawhuska, and Barnstall.
This is KWON Bartlesville and 93.3 FM K227 CQ Bartlesville.
CBS News. I'm Dave Barrett. Rising in the New Hampshire polls, Marco Rubio ahead of tonight's GOP debate there.
You care about this election because...